You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the mystical realm. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, gifted souls step up to the mic sharing their spiritual journey. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their awakening, creating a symphony of enlightenment. This isn't just another interview show. This is where divine insights are channeled and universal truths are revealed. So crank up your stereo and sit back, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next transformative chapter of your soul's purpose. Are you ready? Let's go. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Drop the Needle podcast. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and I'm so happy you all decided to join us. We have a special treat in store for everyone. We have Joseph Dyro joining us again on the show today. You know, if you remember from episode 39, Joseph is a psychic medium from Long Island, New York. The amazing Ms. Pat Longo was Joseph's mentor, teacher, and coach. God bless Pat Longo. Pat Longo, also, if you remember, has mentored and taught some of the world's most recognizable psychics. So we're in some pretty elite company here on the Drop the Needle podcast with Joseph here with us today. In the last episode, Joseph quietly mentioned that he clears homes and sometimes businesses of unwanted afterlife visitors. Everyone, please join me in welcoming Joseph Dyro. Welcome, Joseph.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Boy, it seems like it's been quite a while since we've seen each other.
Yeah, maybe. A little bit.
Yeah, it has been. It has been. Life been treating you well?
Life's been great. Overall, yes.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm happy to hear that. So, as I mentioned in the intro, we get to talk about house clearing, business clearing, Joseph's clearing experiences. So this is going to be really awesome. So I was going to do some hokey, who are you going to call?
you could do that with me, because I'm obviously a big fan of that.
Yes. So let's talk about the whole clearing of residents or businesses. Okay, I know this is going to sound funny, but how does it even start?
Most of the calls I get are people who feel like, because that's, you know, either something's off in their spaces. Maybe they just feel like, you know, it needs a clearing. They feel maybe there's negativity there, and it's not every situation. Because it's not always spirit. Sometimes I'll say energy gets cluttered and it needs somebody to tell it what to do. And there are the other instances where it is spirit, and it could be anything where they're causing a little problem, causing trouble, making people anxious, you know, making the lights flicker, making noises. And because I've had people describe that to me too. And I walk in, I'm like, oh yeah, there's a lot of people here doing stuff.
Holy cow. So you said energy getting cluttered. What do you mean when you say energy getting cluttered?
And let's see, trying to simplify it, it's just because there's spirit, but then let's just say there's just energy floating around, and sometimes
residual.
residual energy. Like, we create energy, we give off energy, we, you know, exchange energy. Sometimes, you know, like, our emotions, our moods leave stuff behind, and, you know, just like dust in the corner eventually collects where enough for you to notice it.
Right. You can't sweep it under the rug anymore.
No, you can't. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the energy of the space is, you know, it needs either a clearing, or I also do the blessing when I do this. Just to charge things up. It just needs someone to, because energy wants to be told what to do, where to go and what to do. And if you tell it to leave, it will go and do that. But while I'm doing it, I'm also talking to spirit, whoever's around. And let's see, if it's not the spirits I'm necessarily trying to sweep out the door, it's often the relatives of the residents of who I end up speaking to. Or it could be spirit that just is hanging around from a previous lifetime, previous owners, just people associated with the property. You know, especially where I live on Long Island, there's a lot of history. Mm-hmm. And a lot of locations that have people who've been living there for, you know, a couple hundred years, if not going back to, like, you know, the natives. And right. Sometimes it gets, you know, it can get quite interesting.
I bet when you're starting to mix, if it were natives and then the other people that would come in after that, yeah, crowded would probably be the best way to describe that. So with this, I'm curious to know that, you know, I guess it's kind of like a car, right? Or when you go to the doctor, you could be really sick, and, you know, and then when you get to the doctor, you go, oh, wow, this is weird. I'm feeling better. Has that ever happened to you when you go in there where they said, well, just before you got here, this was going on, and now everything's quiet?
It has happened. I've also had situations where clients tell me stuff was going on up until, like, the moment I arrived, and it's like, and then everyone went quiet, and it's just like, really, they all knew, you know, the you know, like, teachers coming into the room and everyone's going to shut up now.
Jeez it. Yeah, right.
I mean, those are usually, I'll say, entities or spirits that know they're causing a problem. And how this sort of works is, because when I, you know, whenever, like, you know, I enter the space, I have a chat with the owner, whoever's let me in, and I usually then, when I start doing my thing, I have a chat with spirit, just like, I'm here on behalf of the owner, they've given me permission to do so, because I necessarily can't just walk into someone's space and clear out the energy. I have that verbal, mental permission to do something, and that's usually, then I just go about what I'm supposed to do.
Okay, so let's talk about that. When you walk through the door, you get the go-ahead from the owner, then what?
Then I would, you know, I start actually chatting, like, more often than not, I just start chatting with spirit. I usually do a little setup. Depends on the household. If they let me, because I usually bring out a few candles, I usually make a crystal grid. It's not always necessary. It's based on how I feel. I usually have a bag with me, and it's just like, take out all the goodies, anything I feel like it's going to be beneficial, or because the crystals I bring, I usually charge them up. I do a meditation of who am I bringing today. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's just setting up the intention that we're going to do something energetically here.
Okay. So then once you start the ceremony, is it called a ceremony, or is it just
we can call it a ceremony, or like, okay, a ritual.
Okay, so once you start that, do they ever get pissed off? And
oh yes.
Okay, so what happens?
But let's see, pissed off, or you know, some, let's just say, like, relatives of the family or hang out, they get interested in, why am I here? What am I doing? And can I get rid of them? And usually, but that's why I'm having a conversation, is like, well, if you're family, no, I'm not getting rid of you. And, like, if you belong here, then fine. But if you don't belong here, you got to go. And kind of easily to filter out who belongs and who doesn't based on who I'm, like, what, how I'm talking to everybody. Because mm-hmm. spirit has to be truthful. They can't, like, it's, think of it like a cosmic law. They can't lie. They can try to deceive, but they can't lie.
Okay. So are the homeowners or business owners there with you when you're doing this, or do they vacate?
Usually no. I usually like most of the time they leave me be. Occasionally I'll say like, you know, I tell them you can go do whatever you need to do. I'm going to be walking around, but I've already explained to them I'm going to be in every space, in every nook and cranny of the house, the building, wherever I'm at. I'm going to open closets. I'm going to open drawers. And it's like, why would I, like, you know, I'm in there for a second. Like, I'm not really, like, I'm not lingering in somebody's closet unless they have a really, really big closet. I mean, I've been in houses where they have really big closets, and I had to spend a little time in there by the time I got around.
Sure.
And walk through the spaces. But pretty much everybody leaves me alone to do my thing.
Cool. Which makes sense, because then you can just get down to business rather than, I would be, okay, so what is that doing? And what is that doing? I could just see me. You would not want me anywhere near what's going on, because I'd be like, what is that supposed to do? let's talk about some happenings then, some stories about that you can share with us.
Oh, like a lot of stories. I mean, I have a few on the island, but a lot of them, I've done this work in New Jersey and Manhattan, and I think in Brooklyn and Queens. I don't think I've specifically been in the Bronx yet with this, but the city locations tend to be very interesting, because the city, you know, it's a lot of people coming through, a lot of people coming in from all different places, bringing things with them, bringing energies with them, bringing their relatives, bringing even, you know, even from like hundreds of years ago, because it's just the location of where we happen to be. I did a house, and that was in Queens, and I remember there was a spirit there that did not want to leave, and I cornered them in like one of the bedrooms, and they started throwing stuff at me.
Oh, really?
Because the homeowner came in, because it was like they heard it, and something flew across the room as they entered the room. Of course, once they were there, nothing happened, but they saw the thing fly across the room towards me, because I'm just like, this spirit wasn't, they weren't family, so they didn't belong there, but they didn't want to leave, but there's a way to do it where they have to.
Okay. I won't have you give away your secrets on that. So with all those people coming in, I know that I have heard or seen through different programs that sometimes like antiques are supposed to be something that you should be very careful about bringing into your home. Is that true too? I mean, is that where some of these things might come from when people are coming, you know, they're not their relatives or family members?
In my opinion, yes. That needs something that needs to be taken care of before you bring it into your house. If not, shortly after you bring it into your house. Even if it's a family member's item, because first of all, it doesn't have your energy. So it's bringing in someone else's energy. And if someone else owned it, you're bringing in basically their personality into your space. And every other person who's ever, you know, ever, that's has ever been the owner of this thing, and let's just say if it's an antique, it might potentially have a lot of owners and a lot of lifetimes and a lot of events that have happened around it, and solid objects record and absorb everything around them. So and from my understanding, so if you hold a piece, like hold an antique, it's like, you know, there's stories it can tell. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's, you know, objects could be, I'll use the word haunted, and some of them are, and again, there's just a procedure to do to get the spirit to move on, go somewhere else. You know, my thing is, because I learned from Pat Longo, that, you know, you send them into the light, and if they don't want to go, you ask for assistance. There's a couple other things to do, but it's to, you know, help the spirit along if it's confused, or sometimes, like, even walking through a house, sometimes some spirits are not aware that they've passed. They're really not aware, and time doesn't matter on their end of it. So what could be like 60 years for us could be a day for them. So they're not aware of it, and they just need to have the explanation and, again, assistance and guide them into the light, which is what I end up doing a lot.
Okay. So when, let's use the example of something being thrown at you. Do you ever get freaked out by that stuff?
Not so much anymore, honestly. I mean, I used to get freaked out. Like when I was younger and doing this, I'm like, yeah, that's new. I don't like, you know, I mean, at that time I was describing, it wasn't big stuff, but we were in a bedroom. I think they threw, like, I think one was a book. Another was just a small box that was on, I think that was on the dresser. Stuff like that. It's like, okay, if it hits me, it's like, it's not going to do very much.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I don't care if it was a wadded up piece of paper that nobody else was in the room, all of a sudden got pitched at you. That might do something to me. You know, it might freak me out more than a little bit.
Yeah.
That would be something. So let's hear some other stories that you have.
Let's see. Another one was a place in Manhattan. Now that place, let's see, this particular was an apartment building, but that place was haunted. And when I say haunted, there was a lot of spirits from, I remember my impression was like the 1800s. It wasn't a big building. So when I say apartment building, I don't mean like a 12 story thing. I mean like a three story building. But there was, I think there was 10 units in this place, and every spot had spirits in it who didn't need to be here anymore. But what happens when, initially these kind of things are not always like a bad thing necessarily, but what happens is when people who are, you know, alive, they collectively all start believing like a location is haunted, and it perpetuates the energy to act on that. So it's not necessarily the spirits involved, but now it's the collective manifestation of everyone's thoughts towards something that makes it more of what they're thinking about. Because when I walked in, I remember I'm like, they don't feel that bad, and I'm not getting that vibe. I think it's the other energy involved, because everyone now thinks it's haunted, so now everyone believes it's a bad thing, and it builds upon itself over time. You get enough stories, and and everyone just associates that's what it is, and that's what it becomes.
And yeah, I could see that they maybe feel like they have to live up to the billing a little bit on that. It's funny, as you started to describe that, I was going to ask you if the spirit energies picked up on the people, the living energy there too. So it amplifies and gets them worked up. That's what you're saying, right? It could potentially do that.
Sometimes just the living collectively, you know, believing that it's a haunted location and it's a bad haunting thing. The spirits may necessarily not be doing anything, but then I'll say, but the extra residual energy can do something to perpetuate that belief. So it's not actually spirit doing it, but it's the energy. It's the energy beyond that. Because we'll see, we manifest. Everyone who's alive can manifest a lot of things into existence.
Right. And so is there a difference then between a haunted or haunting versus some of the other things that you were talking about with the energy clutters and things of that nature? Hauntings
are more about that spirit or people who once were here a lot, like once living here, who are no longer, they've transitioned, but they never went to heaven.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, they've attached themselves to the earth plane, and they don't understand what's going on, or they don't want to leave, or there's something that's keeping them here, and so they just never left. But some of them are just completely confused, and from that confusion, there's some anger, and there's some people who just some spirits who just really choose to be angry. Whether they didn't get to do everything they want to do, they weren't ready to transition, and they feel cheated out of the feel cheated, or just hold some resentment or some. We'll see. I've encountered a few bad people. I've been doing this for over 15 years, so I've
been doing a lot. Holy cow, yeah.
And especially, you know, especially since I'm in the vicinity of the city. I mean, I think New York City, like Manhattan, is a little over an hour on the train. So like, and I've had many clients there. And so, I guess I have a lot of experience with this, but sometimes it can get scary. Because I remember another place in the city I walked into and I didn't know exactly what I was walking into. You know, the owner just told me that, you know, they wanted to sell the place and they really needed it cleaned out and blessed. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking into that and everywhere were shadows. And it's like where shadows don't belong, or it's like it didn't make sense. And the realtor was with me too. And this woman also, like, she was uneasy, but she stayed behind me, which was fun. I'm just like, I feel like it's like the Scooby-Doo murder mysteries where I'm like, she's just trailing behind me, watching what I'm doing. And, like, that was one of the few times someone, someone was behind me. But I mean, all I was doing was chit-chatting with spirit before I really got started. But I remember everywhere I could see, like, there's shadows everywhere. So there's a lot of people here, but they're not happy. And, you know, if they're not happy, maybe they're a little afraid and they'll try to stop you if you're doing something because they don't know what you're doing.
Mm.
And, you know, what we consider like hauntings is often sometimes spirits just interacting with us, or they're just doing their own thing. We just happen to be in the way.
Okay. Okay. So, have you ever had to go back?
I have never had to go back to any location. I've told people, it's like, hey, if you feel like something's like not right, I'll come right back. At the earliest possibility. And you know, if I have to come back, that's not an additional charge. Cause I'm like, no, I'm here to complete the job. So I guess in that sense, like, everything turns out good.
Well, that's good, right?
I don't think I've ever, I mean, if, unless they never told me, I've never had callbacks.
Well, I think that'd be something someone would share with you pretty quickly.
Yes,
I feel
that too. I mean, some things took longer than I would expect. I'm remembering it was a house in Connecticut. And that happened to be in, it was a big old house. It was like one of those, I think it was in Greenwich. It was one of, because in Greenwich is a lot of three-story, really, really old location. And there was part of a family who was still residing there. And they really had no idea that they transitioned, but they didn't want to leave either. So that took a lot of effort. Because, you know, the entire time I'm like, they're talking to me and I'm like, no, you got to move on. And they had no idea what I was talking about. And so there was some pushback. And, you know, sometimes every so often I have a situation where I'm like, maybe I should have brought Pat with me on this one, because it would have been nice to have some backup the healing process. But usually when I do this, I call in my angels to, you know, back me up on all these things. And I'll say sometimes, which is, you know, I find this also hilarious because I always wonder what it looks like to my clients. All they see me doing is walking around. I'm not talking out loud. I'm talking to spirit in my mind. Mm-hmm. And so they don't know the conversation going on. They don't know like what I'm getting from all this unless I start talking out loud. So because I'm just walking like to anybody, I'm just walking around like staring at stuff. And I'm like, oh no, I'm having a conversation as I'm looking around.
Well, that would be interesting too, because, you know, if you're the bystander or the homeowner and you're watching that and you're just like, well, what's he doing? He's just standing there being contemplative or something, you know, let's get to work. And you're doing that. That's pretty interesting. Keep going.
And I remember with the house in Greenwich, there was a specific room that had a lot of activity and the owner didn't tell me, but they told me I walked right into the room and said, this is where they spend a lot of time. Because it felt like it to me. It just felt like everybody's in this room. It wasn't the bedroom. It was on the second floor. And I'm trying to remember what the room was. I think it was just a sitting room, but like, they thought it was hilarious. And I'm like, they didn't tell me. And they said, you walked right up and said, everybody's in this room. They said, that's where they felt most of the whatever was going on was happening in that room. So even though the whole property was haunted, like, it was just specifically mostly in that sitting room on the second floor.
Must have been a gathering place for the family then, or something.
Something like that. And they had a couple of kids. The kids didn't really give me the problem. It was the one parent, and there was another, I'm trying to remember, another gentleman who was with them, but they were all family. It was my impression. But they really kind of fought me, like, mentally on this, like, we're not going anywhere. And I'm like, no, you have to. It's like your past, you don't belong here anymore, and the whole everything I got to do to get them to move on.
Well, I would think that, you know, that was their home and their last living memory. So it would seem like somebody may be lying to them or, you know, trying to trick them and say, no, you know, this isn't, you're dead. No, I'm not. No, you're really dead. No, don't believe it. I'm not listening.
It changes. Their attitudes change a lot when they start seeing the light, or I ask for that to come in at some point, and sure. They're like, you know, what is that? And it's just like, it's everything. And it's like, you really want to go there. And sometimes that takes a bit of effort, because some of these sometimes, you know, if it's a quick clearing, maybe I'm there for, depending on the size of the place, maybe I'm there for an hour to 2 hours. I think like that, a couple of these, like I've been there like all afternoon trying to get these spirits out the door.
So this is definitely something that you have to do in person.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
I personally wouldn't do it remotely. I think like I need to be present in the space.
I think it would help, but you know, I've heard of some folks trying to do that, and then they put the onus on the homeowner to do the ritual, which doesn't quite seem right or safe necessarily, because you don't know what kind of energies you're dealing with or yes. Might get stuck to you.
I mean, you know, I wouldn't do that to the homeowner or, you know, the owner of a business. It's like, yes, they're not as familiar of all this as, you know, as let's just say as I would be. And also, sure. Like you said, like, you know, they may not even trust what they're doing. If you're not trusting what you're doing, it's not going to work.
Oh, absolutely not. Did I forget something? Oh, I got to start over, you know, and
that plus, would be, you know, it might be intimidating to try to do something like this, you know, without a professional with you.
Oh, I can't imagine, you know, I'm hesitant to do the old smudging. I can't imagine. Anything else besides that. Now, have you ever had any of those spirits or energies come back with you, come back home?
No, but they've tried.
Really?
Some of them tried. Like, I think for the most part, I successfully get them to go to the other side or go away or get them to go somewhere else. Stay as best I can. I've had spirit follow me home, and if you were in my family, you would find this funny because they've experienced it, where I have this rule where they can't enter my space unless I say so. So I've watched them follow me home, and they will, like, when they get to my space, they kind of hit a wall and can't proceed any further, which I like on some level, I kind of find hilarious, because some of them literally hit an invisible wall. They can't come in. I remember, because it's also a rule I have with the spirits who are waiting for their people to come when I'm doing a reading. And I remember my father came to my door one day, and he just said, you know, there's a line of spirit waiting to come in. And I said, yeah, they can't come in until their person is here. Because what do I need, like, you know, a crowded room for?
It's going to get too loud in here. I won't even be able to hear myself think. So I'm done. So I'd like to know, have you ever watched any of those shows like Ghost Adventures or Paranormal State or anything like that?
Occasionally, yes, I have. Yes,
okay. And you know, Kim Russo had a whole series, and Kim Russo was one of Pat's students too.
And Kim's amazing.
She is something else. Pat turned me on to Kim's programming, and talk about being able to just spend a marathon of those episodes, because they're pretty interesting. And it is similar to what you're talking about, typically she would have, there would be somebody there and try to get to the bottom of it, which is very cool. I was just curious to know what your thoughts are, were on some of those shows that kind of, sometimes they can seem a little sensationalist, in their approach, but.
Some of the, well, I mean, to keep in mind, it's a TV show, so they got to give you a reason to watch.
That's so true too.
There is sensationalism, but it's, you know, but I like my feeling with what, I mean, I haven't watched a lot of them, that I do find them fascinating because I'm all into that kind of stuff. But more often than not, I'm like, they're like, I'm kind of like, it's funny because I've sat next to my sister and we've both said it too. It's like, they're looking over there for the ghost, but the ghost is over there. It's like, that's both of our feeling, is it's like, they're looking in the wrong place sometimes. But some things are, you know, there's just nothing present. And, you know, that's where I think the sensational is. It's like, there's stuff. Because but in my experience, sometimes spirit has the ability to just kind of vanish. Mm-hmm. And you don't hear from them, see them for some time, and they're quite literally not there. But then they materialize, let's say, again at a later time. And because sometimes, like, I'm watching those shows and I'm like, there's nothing going on. They're like, this is completely boring.
Right. Did you hear that? And then they check their EVP. Well, I've got to be completely transparent, and I do watch the Ghost Adventures. I don't know how many seasons of that I was hooked into, and then finally started to go away from it. And when I started to watch more of the Kim Russo things, where I know that there's a, I don't want to say legitimate, because those guys are doing something completely different, right?
They're
trying to prove that there is an afterlife, whereas you are trying to clear something out that's unwanted, or oftentimes could be viewed as being malicious.
Yes.
Right. So,
and of course they're doing it. They're taking a far more scientific approach than I am. But, you know, because they're trying to record everything now.
Right.
Because I'm a nerd, and you know, my father, being also a nerd, has all these gadgets. Because he had he let me borrow an EKG meter. It's a very old machine, because it has one button and a dial on it. So just to tell you how old this thing is, but it detects electromagnetic fields. Unfortunately, okay. if you point it, you know, at the refrigerator, it will click. But if there's, you know, you're in a basement, there's nothing like that going on, and it's clicking, then there's something, then there's an electromagnetic field happening. And I used to bring it with me, you know, for kicks. It's just like, let's see if I point this and it's like where I feel something is. And you know, sometimes I would agree, the machine and I would agree with each other.
So, funny story. In Illinois, there's a tourist town called Galena, and it's a very, very old town, rich in history and everything. And Grant, Ulysses S. Grant, his home is there. He's not there, but the home is there. And I too am a sucker or nerd, what have you, for those types of things. And I went on a tour. It was just my wife and I went on this tour, and we went to a cemetery, and then we went to a haunted home, and then we went somewhere else. Oh, a haunted bar, believe it or not. So there's hotels and bars that are haunted in Galena as well. And that little EMF meter that you're talking about would go to the red when anything was near it, the electromagnetic field. Well, we were in the cemetery, and I was fumbling around for my phone so I could record that. And phone was in the back pocket, and I turned towards a large headstone, and all of a sudden the thing turned red. I like tossed the EMF meter thing and started, you know, frantically trying to grab my phone so I could, and by the time I got my phone out of my pocket, it was gone. So I probably scared whatever was there worse than it scared me. But yeah, I was kind of wondering how you felt with that, because I know my first run in with something like that was a little less than gallant. It freaked me out a little bit.
I'm always fascinated with walking through cemeteries with something like that. But I want to say I find it really interesting, because I'm not saying spirit doesn't hang around cemeteries. There are some that do, but I'll say, but it really doesn't hold a lot of that. What cemeteries hold is what I call death energy, because it's still holding, like when someone transitions, there's death energy. So the body holds on to that, and that still has it by the time they're buried. So cemeteries are filled with death energy, which is not a bad thing, but just again, when it's, you know, every couple of feet is another source of that.
Gotcha.
Collectively, it gives you maybe an uneasy feeling, because, you know, we're not transitioned, and so it's, you're feeling the difference is what makes people uncomfortable. And as much as it's a park and it's, you know, sometimes nice and nice, like lush greenery, but also, as I was similar to like a haunting where people collectively believe it's haunted, therefore it becomes that. Mm-hmm. A similar thing with, everybody knows what a cemetery or a graveyard is, and walking into that, you're feeling the death energy, and, you know, it can attract spirit because people walk through there.
Sure. Well, I mean, here's the other thing too. It's a lot different walking through there at 11:30 at night than it is 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, because you're right, because all of a sudden you're like, oh, look at that stone. Oh, look at the date on that. And then everything is,
because, you know, more cool. More than likely, the person you're reading the headstone of, they're not there.
Oh, right. Right.
They've long gone. Rarely would they be there. In my experience, at least, maybe someone else has a different experience. Rarely in my experience is the person still there. But more often than not, darker stuff's hanging around a cemetery.
Sure. Well, I mean, here's the thing too, right? Because if you go on these tours, they want something to happen. So if they know that something's going to happen when you're there, whether it be what you're talking about, death energy or what have you, they want that, because then somebody's going to give them a big, you know, good rating, and then they're going to want to come, and then they're going to be busy. The one that kind of got me a little bit though, there were two of them. The one was at a home we went to where there were no electrical outlets. It was gas. You know, they had the gas lights still working. Ooh. In the home. Beautiful. And we went in there, but there were only a few of them, right? So it was pretty dark. And then they said that there was a child that would come out typically when women were present, which made sense, you know, from a mom type of thing. And
yeah, it makes sense.
And of course, you know, makes you sad and all of those feels. But when I see, it didn't go off when I held it. It went off when my wife held it and went over towards the corner. And they said, well, usually it's over in the corner. If he's going to come out, you know, it'll be over in the corner. And it did. And she reacted much better than I did. She was excited about that. And this is, we're talking about somebody who doesn't believe in any of this stuff. She was like, oh my gosh, look at that. How cool is that? And then she starts waving it all over the place, trying to find it again, but it wasn't happening. The other one was in a bar that they said was back by a pool table. And they said that if you were sitting at the pool table, sometimes you would just all of a sudden get pulled off. So going back there, they didn't have the EMF things, but they, what are those little rod things?
Oh, dowsing rods?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Those dowsing rods. And the gentleman who was leading the tour was using that. And I gave him a side eye with that, thinking, okay, well, you're twisting it around. And he said, well, okay, put your hands, make two fists. And he just shoved them in there, the rods in there. And he said, I'll ask the questions. You just stand there and look pretty. And I was like, okay, I can do that. And I was surprised that it did that. They would move. I had no control.
They move and answer your questions.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So but you don't need any of those gadgets when you're
no, doing your thing. But it's fun to have, honestly.
Yeah, I would imagine, especially if you have, you know, people.
I mean, a couple of times I wish I had like somebody with me with some recording equipment, because I'm like, hey, if someone wants to record something flying at me, it's like, that would be great to put online.
Wouldn't it?
That would be great. Usually when I think, you know, almost like 99% of the time I'm solo when I'm doing this kind of stuff.
Man, you know what? That's when the old Ghost Adventures throw up that that camera, that stationary camera in the corner and gets the room. But sometimes that gets knocked over too, so you never know. Any other stories for us before we wrap it up?
Let's see. I'm recalling like one of the jobs I did in Manhattan. It was a building. I think it was another apartment building, but it was not under construction, but I guess under construction, but also falling apart at the same time. So that's why I think there was renovations. But that place had some dark energy around it. And I remember because there was the open staircase that, you know, in some of these buildings, it's one staircase that accesses every floor in the center. And this thing, like, whenever I felt like it kept changing the rooms, like, just ahead of me, until I'm like, okay, you got to, like, you know, you got to stop, and I got to at least see what's going on. Like, at some point, I eventually caught this thing, and it's how it appeared to me was nothing but tentacles, but just tentacles sticking out of the ceiling. Just, you know, just, I think, with the intention of creeping me out.
Oh, my God.
Which, because I'm like, you know, part of me's like, do I run? But I'm like, at the same time, I had the feeling that it can't do anything to me. It's just, it's all the imagery it's giving me in my head, like, to, you know, I guess, scare me off.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, this is pretty creepy.
Well, yeah, that would.
I'm not saying my hair doesn't stand out on my neck when I do some of these things, but I think like I've built such maybe a stamina for this. I'm not saying I never get scared. I'm just like, sometimes I'm like, I think I built such. I mean, because there's also a general cosmic law, like it can't touch me if I don't want it to.
Right. Right.
And which is very, very, which is why another reason why I prefer that homeowners don't do that, because they don't have that. They don't know what that is. Even if you tell them, they don't understand the concept, or maybe they don't believe it in the moment or don't trust it. Mm-hmm. So, and if you don't trust it, then these things can do more with the intention of being intimidating. But because there are to be real, like there's dark stuff out there.
Oh, I would imagine. So then when you leave a place, do you go through then your own cleansing ritual for yourself? And
oh yes.
Okay. Okay,
to make when sure I get, nothing follows. Usually when I get home, I have, you know, I have some things I do to shake off whatever could have like hitched a ride or whatever, or just to, you know, clear, you know, again, like getting dirt on your shoes, just kind of let's just pat myself down and clear all this out.
Wow. Yeah. I would love to accompany you on one of those, and I would record it for you.
That would be cool.
I can't say that I wouldn't. If something happened, I wouldn't go, oh, fuck. That I couldn't promise, but it would be legit. Whatever was happening, it was. And I'll be honest, too, that sometimes I think, oh, gosh, that would be so cool to go on one of those overnight things where they stay all night. And then I'm going, okay, that's pitch black. You can't see shit. And you know, something touching you and there's nobody there. Yeah, that's, you know, because you hear about that type of thing, especially in homes where like they don't want the homeowners there any longer, you know, where they'll scratch, push, move things, hide things. And is that some of the stuff that you get when people are calling you for that?
Occasionally. Honestly, it's not a lot, or at least maybe not as a lot as you think, because a lot of people, they're interpreting it as maybe a haunting. It's not actually, I don't consider it actually a haunting. As I said, mm-hmm. maybe in the beginning, it's just cluttered energy that just needs to be told, that just needs to be cleaned out today.
Gotcha.
And because I'm trying to, I've had situations where I've walked in and I'm like, there's no spirit causing an issue, but I can tell when, let's just say, family members have really, really good arguments that get maybe pretty heated, and I can feel that. And that's what's causing the residual energy to stick around and do something that it maybe know what, that people are not appreciating in that space. But I'm talking about a lot. I don't want everybody to be like, oh my God, I can't have a fight because can't have a shouting match because it's going to happen. It's like, no, I'm talking about, this is a lot in either the current owner, maybe the previous owner, or maybe they just had somebody stay there and they were just a problem. Cause when we're in a low vibrational place, we attract it. So right. If somebody around us is at a low vibration, they're attracting that to themselves. So it becomes a complicated situation. I was also wanted to say that, like, where I live, specifically on the island, and I can only speak for that because this is where I live, there's a lot of haunted or crazy locations. Because you were talking about a bar before, like, I've been to a bar, but just recreationally, in Smithtown. I wasn't there to do a job, but I'm like, everyone's like, this place is haunted. And I'm just like, I walked in, I'm like, no, I don't feel it just yet. It's like, I had to walk into the basement, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, down here I can feel it. I didn't feel it upstairs.
Really?
And there's locations, I think it's, forgive me, Long Island people, is it Sweet Hollow Road, is just a crazy spot to like drive down in the middle of the night, because there's, I can't say it's haunted, but there's a lot of energy that kind of wants to show you something, interacting there. So I never quite investigated it. I've been there, and it's just like, yeah, it's a little crazy, in what I can see in my head with this. But specific locations can hold energy that will act on. Let's see, the lore of what everybody thinks it's going to do.
Okay, well, So everyone knows, one of our podcast frequent flyer guests, Irene DeResti, actually happens to know Joseph and knows about his ability as it relates to clearing homes and businesses. And she said, Joseph, and she referred to you as Joe, but she said, Joseph is incredible. He is hands down one of the best at doing this. So
thank you.
Coming from her, I believe that 100%. One last thing. So let's say that someone has a feeling that there's something just not right in their home. Is there anything that they can do on their own? Because let's just assume not everybody's that listens is on Long Island and right. New Jersey can call you. What could they maybe do?
Something like this, I want to try and keep as simple for them as possible. One, I really want them to understand that it's their space. They're in control. If they don't want it there, it can't exist with them, but they got to wrap their minds around that. It's a little bit of ignoring it and a little bit of, you got to tell it to leave you alone. It has to. It might stop its feet over there, but it can't be in front of you. It has to be over there where you kind of told it to go. It's first and foremost, I promise everyone, you're in control. It can't do anything if you don't want it to.
Very good.
The second though, it's whatever, I also want to say, whatever they can do to make them feel better about the situation. If they feel like there's something intimidating, like whether it's, if lighting a candle makes you feel better, I'll say putting religious symbols around it, if that makes you feel better, do it, because that does help.
Very good.
Whether it's, let's just say, a good spirit that's just being annoying, if you do all that stuff, because the intention behind it is, I don't want you crossing this line, for me, and it has to follow that rule.
Very good. Yeah, I think the KISS methodology in this instance would be very good. Keep it simple, sucker.
So, keep it simple. If you really feel like you're having an issue, you can call me.
Oh, there you go. There you go. And we have Joseph's, his website will be on the show notes again. So there is no problem in getting in touch with him. Well, it's just about time to cue the music for today's episode, but don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast to stay up to date on our latest episodes. I'd also like to take a moment to thank everyone again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Drop the Needle podcast. I'd also like to thank our very special guest, Joseph Dyro, for being on the show today. And Joseph, how can folks get in touch with you again?
Let's see, you can contact me through my website or email, my phone number. I'm on a bunch of social media. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm also on TikTok. I don't know what I'm doing on TikTok, so forgive me, people. But like all of them, everywhere possible way to send me a message, I'm out there somehow.
Fantastic. And as a matter of fact, if you can send me all of your social handles, I'll make sure that they get put on the show notes.
Okay, I'll do that.
Excellent. And I invite you to head on over to our show notes, where there's going to be a link to this episode with all of Joseph's socials. So, and also on there, you'll be able to book a session with Joseph if you'd like. He's got so many offerings, like we said before. It's not just house clearing. We have cards, we have one-on-one sessions, we have Reiki, we have Feng Shui, we have all sorts of things. All right, my Drop the Needle posse, like Billy Joel says, from the highs to the lows to the end of our show, this is the end of our show. Until next time, this is Jim Allstott wishing you infinite health and happiness and the perfect playlist for your life. Thank you again for being the best part of us. Catch you next time.